In his message to Congress last night, President Obama laid out his plans on dealing with the various crises his administration is contending with. But the Washington Post editorialized this morning that his message was more about what could be done than what would have to be left out. Obama said that in addition to dealing with the banking, housing, and financial problems, he plans on addressing health care, education, and alternative forms of energy and cut the deficit in half by 2013. How can he do it? One analyst says that members from both parties realize that it will involve raising taxes. New York Times economics columnist David Leonhardt wrote today that for a half a century, federal taxes have remained fairly constant relative to the size of the American economy, equal to about 18% of gross domestic product. But he says that has to end soon.
That's because we've made a series of commitments. Medicare is by far the biggest and most important of them, that we cannot pay for with taxes at 18% of GDP. Part of that is the demographic factors that you often hear about, the fact that we're going to have more people who are older than 65. But the much bigger thing is that we've had healthcare costs going up very rapidly, and we're going to have to figure out a way to pay for that. Healthcare reform could potentially reduce that significantly, but it still won't be enough to get it down to 18% of GDP. And it's just clear that we want a level of government, things like Medicare and the military and Social Security, that requires more than 18% of GDP. And even if we got little bit of waste here and there, it's not going to do it. And so this isn't an opinion so much as it is an economic reality. Based on the government that we have right now and the government we've committed to, taxes need to go up.
Now, I wonder if everybody buys into that. You quote in your – or you mentioned in your article Douglas Holtz-Eakin, John McCain's chief financial officer advisor during the campaign last year. New Hampshire Senator Jed Gregg has saying they believe this as well. The president last night talked a lot about changing a lot of things, including health care. He really didn't lay out how he was going to do that. Will there be Republican buy-in to this?
There will by no means be complete buy-in to this. And there are people who say, no, we don't have to raise taxes. The problem is they haven't laid out a plan for how to get government down to the size that it would need to be in order to have taxes at 18%. And talking about getting rid of farm subsidies, which the president did, talking about cutting back on wasteful military spending or foreign aid or all these different things, those are nice ideas, but they aren't very big numbers at all. The big item by far is Medicare. Some of the other big items are Social Security and the military. So if someone wants to come forward and say, no, we can keep taxes at 18% of GDP, that's fine. But they then need to come up with a plan that basically involves really, really big cuts to the size of future government. And that means Medicare, and it means Social Security. So if someone wanted to say, look, I don't think we should still have Medicare, or I think it should start at 75 instead of 65, or I think it should pay for a half or a third of what it now does and what it would in the future, then yes, then you could be in favor of taxes at 18% of GDP.
And again, we're speaking to David Leonhardt, a columnist for the New York Times this morning. David, you mentioned this in terms of Medicare and Social Security. Back, of course, in the early 80s, President Reagan named a bipartisan commission headed by former Fed Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan to chair this commission on what to do with Social Security as we look down the road with the deficit there. They came out with that commission in 83, the report, and as you mentioned, many of the things they suggested there, which is to increase Social Security tax rates and raise the retirement age, took many years before it actually happened. And in fact, some of those changes have yet to happen.
Right.
And that was 25 years ago. The point being, it's really, really difficult to do this stuff. We obviously, we pay the price for it. If we get a commission, a likewise commission of Medicare right now, what could they really do or say other than, again, like you say, raise taxes?
Well, so the key with the Greenspan Commission is that it was President Reagan named it in 1981. It issued its report in 1983, and then Congress then passed a bill based on the report that President Reagan signed. And the key is that a lot of the changes that it put in, it made them take effect in future years. And as you just pointed out, some of them haven't even taken effect yet, but they're already in the law, so they're going to take effect. And it's much easier to get people to agree to those sorts of tax increases or benefit cuts, ones that are in the future, because they feel like, well, that's not going to affect me now. What's the big deal? And I think that's the best model for what we can get done here. And so that's on the tax side. On the healthcare side, we really can cut back healthcare spending significantly from where it's projected to go. And the main reason for that is that a lot of the healthcare spending we're now doing doesn't actually make people healthier. If you look at variation among hospitals or among metropolitan areas, what you see is that many of the ones that spend the most amount of money don't actually get any better outcomes. They don't have sicker people coming in, and they don't have healthier people going out. They're spending more money without getting particularly anything for it. And so the key to healthcare reform, I think, is not covering more people, although that is important. The key to healthcare reform is cutting back on some of this wasteful spending. That, combined with some smart, sensible tax increases, is what we're going to need to get us out of this fiscal hole.